Welcome, listeners, to Not For The Dinner Table's spooky season. For the month of October, we're serving up an episode every Friday, all the way up to Halloween, where we're going to share some of our favourite ghost stories and some from our lovely listeners. Get ready for ghouls and ghosts, women in white and headless horsemen, strange apparitions, disembodied voices, and things that go bump in the night. Ooh. As we celebrate October in style. We even have a special treat in store for Halloween itself with a throwback, never-before-released episode of our very own ghost hunting adventure.
Yes!
Welcome to Not For The Dinner Table.
Cheers!
Spooky season!
Happy spooky season!
Oh, we actually got a cheers as well. That was good.
That was nice.
It's October. It's hurrah, spooky season.
Hurrah!
We are dressed like the Addams Family.
We actually are. I look like Wednesday today, and David is dressed as Pudsey.
Yeah. Is it Pudsey or Pudsley?
Pudsley,
yeah. Isn't it? Because Pudsey's
the bear.
From Children in Need.
That's right, Dave. The bear.
I do not look like
him. No, you don't. You've got a black and white stripy jumper on. You look very fetching in it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You look very fetching with your Wednesday pigtails and your black dress.
Thank you. Shall we continue?
Yes.
I think we should come in fancy dress every time.
Goodness. Okay, well, yeah, because we're going to record all of these in one night. So we'll be in fancy dress for all of them.
Okay. That didn't work, did it?
So listeners, this will be a bit different. These are going to be some shorter episodes. We are each going to bring a story per episode, and the first one will go out on this Friday when you're listening to it, and every Friday up to Halloween, where on Saturday, which is Halloween, we will release our ghost adventure episode from 2018.
Fuck off!
So nearly 2 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's craziness.
Did we do it in 2019 before the lockdown? Did we No, it was definitely 2018.
It was definitely a long time ago.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. That's mental, isn't it?
It is mental.
Wow. There we go. But I'm excited to hear that again because I've completely forgotten what we recorded. I remember doing it.
Yes. We definitely refer it to it as our first minisode, but obviously that is not the case. It's because we don't do minisodes.
No, so we can't do it. I bet this ends up being over what we said it was going to be.
This would be 3 hours.
Yeah. Just like one long monologue of us reading stories.
Yes.
Excellent.
And then. So I think you're going first, aren't you, on our spooky adventure?
I am, because I'm ever so predictable, Dave. And I've done the Forest of Dean.
Hey.
For my spooky stories.
Local spooky stories are sensational.
They are.
Take it away.
So, I've actually done two, because obviously I don't listen to what you say to me when you say one story per thing. And they're only short, so that's fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, the first one is called The Witchcraft in the Forest Project.
Oh.
The forest is an old and long established area, said Miss England, addressing her final year media students. People have lived in the area, hunted, mined, foraged, and sweated for thousands of years.
Not the same person. Immortal people of the forest sweating for thousands of years.
I've been sweating for thousands of years. Flint implements show their habitation going back as far as prehistoric times. Iron Age and Roman artifacts are also in evidence. She looked at her class of uninspired and uninspiring students and hoped that the project she was about to give them would change their mood. Charge them up a bit, and she carried on. Through all of this time, it has managed to retain its own unique culture and identity. The forest has witnessed a wealth of human history, some momentous and some routine, but some, and this part we're going to be interested in, unknown and unexplained.
Ooh.
Your task is to do an investigation into any supernatural phenomenon associated with the area and produce an end report. I mean, that's a fucking cool school project, isn't it?
Yeah.
The students' eyes turned to her. There have been many sightings and happenings in this area. The ghosts of murderers, eerie robed figures, waters with healing properties. There are many possibilities for you to investigate. She had their attention. I want an in-depth report that clearly demonstrates your investigative abilities. Use your imagination and resourcefulness. Of course, that was 2 weeks ago, Dave. A lot had happened since then. First, we all went off to do our research. We decided to look at St. Anthony's Well. Neil appointed himself manager. Nobody argued about it. He's a born manager, full of talk but not much action.
Oh, okay.
He gave us tasks to do. We reported back. Sam, the charmer of the group, was sent off to interview locals. He came back with the following information. Children have always played there. It's a magical and tranquil place and always has been. Late night teenage parties sometimes rudely interrupted the tranquility for locals. I used to do that. Unclad bodies could be spotted on hot summer's days. And actually, I think I interrupted a porno being shot there once, but that's another story. Paul, the quiet, slightly weird one, was sent off to look up the area in books. He found out that the site had had religious connections for many centuries and that signs of pagan ritualism could be seen to this day. For example, the well was dressed to welcome the spring equinox, and he found that the water helped skin conditions.
Yeah, we know that, didn't we?
Yeah, we do, because we've covered this before, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
This is hardly gripping snuff. This is hardly gripping stuff, complained Neil. What are we going to do? That's when the debate started. This is impossible. I don't believe in supernatural anyway. There's a scientific explanation for everything. This isn't a magical healing well. The water runs over limestone and iron-rich rocks, which no doubt helps skin ailments. There's always an explanation. But that's so boring. We're not going to grab anyone's attention with that angle. Quiet and weird Paul spoke up. And it's not true anyway. Science doesn't have all the answers. It just offers one of many possible explanations. My grandma could feel spirits around her. She called it her sixth sense. She said you should never be complacent about the unknown. It doesn't like being ignored. Don't be daft. Your gran is weird as you. Paul looked hurt. Anyway, this gets us no closer to producing a good report. What would a successful investigation reporter do now? He'd go off and do some hands-on research. He'd go to the battlefield and film the live action, said Sam. You're right, that's what we'll do. We'll go in the dead of night, stake it out and film some footage. Paul and I were appointed cameramen. We regrouped at the well at nightfall, cameras in hand. After a good 2 hours of nothing interesting happening, Neil piped up. What are we going to do? This isn't going to get us anywhere. Be imaginative. why don't we make something happen? What do you mean, make something happen and take pictures of it? You know, draw pentagrams on the floor, hang effigies in the trees, build a sacrificial altar, anything. I don't think we should do that, said Quiet Paul. Such a killjoy. It's mucking about with stuff we don't know about. Stop being weird, Paul. It's not real. Come on, let's get on with it. Neil cleared the leaves off a big area of soil and scratched some meaningless hieroglyphics into it. Witches' runes, he laughed. We set about weaving some humanoid stick figures out of twigs and reeds and hung these in the trees. The crown piece was a giant pentagram constructed of pine cones. Paul looked on. There's someone here. Can you feel it? Shut up, Paul. Crunch, 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 crunch. Rhythmic beat like a drum walks into my mind. Sea of black, shades of black. I hold my breath, straining to hear. A whisper, a sigh. Who's there? Thump, thump. My heart beats loud. Rustling leaves, crunching, cracking, snapping wood. Who's there? I run. Screech, screams the night bird, laughing at my fear. Run hard, run hard. Hear voices, happy voices, kind voices. Run to voices there by the well, my well. Slow down, slow down. Join in. I'm telling you, there's someone here. We looked at Paul. He looked freaked out. All right, Paul, said Neil resignedly. Let's get the pictures and go. And that's what we did. We left the wood and our artwork behind, pleased that we'd got something meaty at long last. At our next meeting, we got together and called it Witchcraft in the Forest. It was easy to cobble together. It turned out there was quite a lot about witches in the forest, and Ellen Hayward had been brought before magistrates at Littledean and charged with pretend witchcraft only 100 years ago. We handed it in video format and got excellent feedback. All was good. We understood her comments about the pentagrams and stick effigies, but were a bit confused when she made references to antlers, horns, and moons. So we had another look at the documentary, and there it was, made out of woven grass, the symbol of a crescent moon, and some antlers. Who made those? We asked each other. Did you? Nobody admitted to making them. It was on footage taken on Paul's camera. Nobody admitted to taking it, but how else could they have got there? But that wasn't all. Later that night, we all got a phone call from Neil. Who put the stick man on my pillow? He demanded. Frankly, for someone who's normally in such control, he sounded a bit phased. Nobody admitted to it. Don't be daft, Paul said to him. You're weird, you are. So I'm left with these questions. Who made the unknown symbols? Who put the effigy on Neil's pillow? And was Paul getting his own back on Neil? Or is there, after all, something more sinister in the forest?
I want to go to St. Anthony's Well now. Was so cool.
So this was actually a story inspired by an article in The Forester, which is a local forest newspaper, about teenagers making occult symbols at the well.
Oh, wow.
And it's written by Heather Enderby, and it's in a book called If You Go Down to the Woods, A Dean Witch Project, Forest of Dean Writers.
Love it.
It's full of little tidbits. Fabulous. Did you like that story, though?
I loved that story.
Ooh. Good. Okay. This one is called The Strange Tale of the Salesman and the Ostrich.
Okay. In the forest?
In the forest.
In the forest.
Yeah. David closed his laptop with satisfaction and drained his cup of its remaining dregs of coffee, still hot and good.
Oh, God.
It had been a worthwhile visit. Two charming guest rooms at the ancient forest pub would benefit from new bathrooms, and he, David, would definitely benefit from some new orders. Checking his watch, he saw that he could make the short trip to Monmouth easily by 5, and he was optimistic that this visit would prove productive. Grabbing his keys from the bar, he called his farewell to the landlady, along with a promise to be in touch soon. She was already busying herself in the kitchen preparing for the evening's trade, and she cheerfully returned his goodbye over a clatter of pans and cutlery. The door of the Ostrich Inn, old and heavily studded, opened onto the narrow country lane on which the pub had stood for 300 or 400 years, offering shelter and refreshment to weary travellers in bygone times. It remained popular as a romantic country pub restaurant. Huge fireplaces with leaded windows, proper beer and interesting menus now wooed the drivers of today who struggled to squeeze their 4x4s into the lane outside. David stepped through the hefty door and closed it behind him, then stopped quite still, mouth slightly open, as what he saw or did not see sank in. Where on earth was his car? Parked right outside an hour or so earlier. Furious, his eyes swept up and down the lane. What sort of bloody joke is this? He had another visit to make, a job to do. In his anger, he failed to notice the absence of the 2 or 3 other vehicles which had been parked nearby when he arrived. One outside the fabulous brooding church across the lane, and a Mercedes a little further down the road outside an elegant Georgian house. David cursed softly. He would have to borrow the pub's phone, as his mobile never seemed to work in the forest. He began to fumble behind his back for the door handle, but his fingers made contact only with cold, rough stone. Unable to locate the door, he spun round in anger and frustration to find himself staring at an uneven wall, grey stone paint unpainted. There was no heavy oak door, no door, in fact, of any kind. He touched the wall lightly, trailing his fingers over the gritty surface, outrage evaporating to dry mouth astonishment and a creeping unease. Still staring dumbfounded at the wall of the pub, David was becoming aware of the silence, the utter and impenetrable stillness. There was no birdsong, no movement of wind through the trees, no faint voices within buildings. He attempted to move, to turn and run, the car now forgotten. Like a small boy in a frightened dream, he strained and struggled but remained still as though trapped in glass. This nightmare-like impotence and immobility seemed to last forever, and David wondered if he was actually dying. Was that what it was like? At that very second, which he thought he must surely be leaving this world forever, the spell seemed to be broken. From the ancient church which dominated this tiny hamlet came the clear ring of a bell. Then again and again. David Freed spun round as the sixth toll rang out. 6 o'clock. His mind was sluggish as though from sleep, and he struggled to remember what time he'd said goodbye to the landlady. That was before 5, surely. He was still wrestling with the notion of a lost hour and a lost door when a far off but undeniable sound forced its way into his confusion, a drumming of horses' hooves and a rattling of wheels. Slowly but surely, the sound grew nearer, and David huddled back against the rough walls, his eyes fixed on the corner of the lane. Louder and louder grew the sound. But it was not the sharp clatter of hooves on tarmac. These hooves thudded dully on a dusty, unmade surface. And when the horses rounded the corner into David's stunned vision, he drew his breath sharply. 2 smart black ponies pulled a small, covered carriage, Atop sat a man in a frock coat and breeches, lightly flicking a whip and looking straight ahead. He might have been on his way to a country fair to give rides to children, a well-meaning soul doing his bit to raise funds for some local cause. David somehow knew this was not the case and shrunk ever closer to the wall, but the coachman appeared oblivious to the terrified man. He felt the draught as the carriage rolled past, heard the jangle of bridles as the ponies tossed their heads, and then, as the vehicle slowed to negotiate more carefully the twist of the lane, he was looking directly into the window. Level with his face was that of a young woman, twisted with fear and shrieked with tears. She seemed to look right at David, and desperate hope lit her eyes. She lunged towards the window, and he could hear her cry out, hands grasping at the glass, eyes pleading. Then, just before the carriage rolled out of David's sight, he saw her cower away from a gloved arm, raised in a threat from a shadowy interior. Then, the coach and its unhappy passenger rounded the corner and were gone. The landlady's surprise at seeing David walk back into the bar seconds after he had left soon faded. She swiftly took in his ashen complexion and the specks of reddish dust on his previously immaculate shirt. "I expect you'll be wanting something a bit stronger this time." David nodded gratefully but said nothing. "This one's on me," she said, and turned to the whiskey optic.
Oh.
That is by Julia Storara.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well done, Julia.
And that is a story from the owner of the ostrich, where we are going in 2 weeks' time. So we can take lots of pictures.
Wow. That's so cool. They were brilliant.
Did
well
you like
done.
Them?
I loved them.
They
were
so
good.
I love
good.
A little forest ghosty story.
Yeah. Can't believe it. I live in such a haunted place.
You do. There's bloody loads in that book. You need to have a little read.
Well, to finish us off then, we do have some listeners' leftovers.
Listeners' leftovers.
For
Excellent.
This lovely spooky season. So our first one comes from Rachel. Now, rather than send us a story, Rachel actually sent us a ghost sighting photo, which we will put up on our Instagram. The photo was taken from a cave under the Cove Sea Lighthouse in Lossiemouth, Scotland. So could it be the lost soul of someone at sea? Well, possibly. The coastline surrounding the lighthouse is partially submerged and rocky, and it has always been hazardous for shipping. There are tales of the Celtic hermit Saint Gerardine, who, according to legend, walked the headland with a lantern to warn seafarers away from the dangerous Cove Sea and Halymanskeries. Halymanskeries still retain in their name a reference to the holy hermit. Following a storm in the Moray Firth in November 1826, when 16 vessels were sunk, applications were made for a lighthouse at Tarbert Ness, on the other side of the Firth, and here at Covesey Skerries. After many letters and petitions from local people, a suitable site was chosen, and the building of the lighthouse on the Craghead and a beacon on the Halymanskeries were approved. The 40-foot tall grid iron tower, which can still be seen on the Skerries today, was erected in 1845. The Covesey Skerries lighthouse was completed in 1846 and has saved many a life at sea. But maybe the ghost in the cave was one before its time.
Ooh.
So thank you to Rachel, who sent us that amazing photo.
Yeah,
and to covesealighthouse.co.uk.
Fabulous.
So that's episode 48 of, and the first episode of Spooky Season.
Woohoo! Love a bit of Spooky Season.
So thank you for listening, listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, why not check out some of our other ghostly episodes, such as episode 1, a classic, Dead Things in Chimneys.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah. Our 2018 Christmas episode, where we sit down with your dad and talk about all of the ghostly goings on in Braincourt.
Also fabulous.
Episode 13, which just so happens to be called Ghostly Goings On. Episode 22, Haunted Places. Episode 27, Halloween Spookiness. Episode 36, Haunted Graveyards and Halls. Or episode 47, Haunted Forests.
Oh yeah.
All of the haunteds.
All haunted. Everywhere's haunted.
And we'll put all of the links to those episodes in our show notes. If you'd like to help the podcast grow, then spread the word and tell a friend about Not For The Dinner Table. If you'd like to go further than that, then a review wherever you found the podcast would be awesome. 5 stars, please. You can follow us on our social media platforms, on Twitter at NFTDT, on Instagram at NotForThe_dinner table, on Facebook at NotForTheDinnerTable, and TikTok at NFTDT, or email us at NotForTheDinnerTable@gmail.com. where you can send us your listener stories, ask us questions, or send us recordings of your version of any of our jingles. The podcast is written and produced by us, and our logo was created by Kaylee, and you can see more of her work on Instagram at @kcreatesdesign. Our music is by Chris Scott. And remember, everyone is welcome at our dinner table, especially during spooky season.
Oh, yes. Cheers. Bye. Love it.
The Dinner Table is part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or follow Britpod Scene on Twitter to find out more.